Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Right, so it's Sunday afternoon, March 29th, and I've been thinking about three stories that kept pulling me back this week. They're from completely different corners of the tech world: factory floors, ROS forums, and developer blogs. But they all converge on the same idea. The gap between prototype and production is closing, and it's closing fastest where real data meets real constraints. Let me start with the one that properly surprised me. Mind Robotics just raised $500 million to build robots that can actually adapt. Now, I know, another robotics company, another big funding round. But hear me out, because this one's different. Classical industrial robots are brilliant at repeating the same precise task 10,000 times. They excel at that. But the moment a part is slightly misaligned, or the surface texture changes, or the task requires any kind of judgment, they fail completely. That's why most factories still need human hands for the messy, variable work. Mind Robotics is building robots that can handle that variability, dexterous manipulation in real production environments. And here's the bit that really matters. The company spun out of Rivian. They have access to active manufacturing lines, real production data, not simulation data. Actual data from cars being built right now today on Tuesday at 3 a.m. when the humidity is 67% and the part tolerance is slightly off. That's the flywheel. Every robot learns from real production conditions, the kind of edge cases you can't simulate because you don't know they exist until they happen. The takeaway: we're finally seeing robotics companies that understand the last mile isn't technical, it's operational. It's the gap between this works in the lab and this works in the factory on a bad day. Worth thinking about for anyone building hardware. The data flywheel is what makes the difference between a demo and a deployment. Okay, so this next one is properly nerdy, but it's the kind of nerd that saves you 3 months of pain. A developer just published a benchmark that every agentic AI team will need in the next 6 months. The question? VLLM or Sclang for production serving? The tutorial works, scaling it doesn't. And nobody talks about this. So this developer built the same React agent, the kind that uses tools, makes decisions, calls APIs, and ran it under load on both VLLM and Sclang. Real workload, real latency, real tool calling patterns. The results? Tool calling workloads run 71% faster on Sclang, but long context summarization is more stable on VLLM. What that means is, the choice isn't about which engine is better, it's about which workload you're actually running. And most teams don't figure that out until they're 6 weeks into production and wondering why their agent is timing out. The thing I love about this piece is the specificity, not Sclang is faster. That's useless. But tool calling is 71% faster. Long context summarization is more stable on VLLM. That's the sentence that saves your sprint. If you're building agentic AI right now, this benchmark is the document to send your team. Links in the show notes. Think about what that means for a second. The serving layer, the boring infrastructure bit that nobody talks about, is now the bottleneck. Your agent works. Your prompts are tuned. But if you pick the wrong serving engine for your workload, you're leaving 70% performance on the table. Right, completely different corner now, but stay with me. There's a new ROS 2 Jazzy Sensor Fusion package called Fusion Core, and the developer is looking for hardware testers. Now, I wasn't expecting to care about this one, but the design philosophy is worth your time. Fusion Core combines IMU, encoders, and GPS for reliable position estimates at 100 Hz. Zero manual tuning. The developer calls it set and forget, which, honestly, in robotics, that phrase usually means set and spend 3 weeks debugging. But the design here is different. Instead of tuning parameters, you just plug in your sensors and the system adapts. The idea is to replace robot underscore localization, the standard ROS tool, with something that actually works out of the box. What stood out to me is that the developer is being honest about the state of it. They're not claiming it's production ready. They're asking for testers, real hardware, real edge cases. That's how you close the prototype to production gap. You invite people to break it early. And actually, that connects to something else I saw this week. A developer shared their NAV2 tuning results for TurtleBot 4, and buried in the write-up is this line. I spent 20 hours following AI-generated advice before realizing it was fundamentally wrong for my hardware setup. That's the thing nobody warns you about. AI tools are brilliant at generating plausible-sounding robotics advice, but plausible and correct are not the same thing. And in robotics, incorrect advice doesn't just fail. It fails expensively with hardware. The takeaway from both of these? The ROS community is still doing the hard work of building tools that work on real hardware with real constraints. If you're building anything physical, that's where the answers are, not in the AI-generated tutorials. In the forums where people share what actually broke and how they fixed it. Okay, Last one, and this is the thread that ties everything together. There's a piece by Adi Osmani called The Code Agent Orchestra, and it's about the shift from single coding agents to orchestrated teams, multiple agents working together, each with a specific role. Now, the concept isn't new. But what Osmani does well is talk about the discipline required to make it work. It's not just spin up five agents and let them go. It's about defining boundaries, managing state, and making sure the agents don't step on each other. The interesting bit is how this mirrors what we've been seeing all week. Mind robotics using production data as a flywheel. The VLLM versus Esklang benchmark showing that workload matters more than engine choice. Fusion Core designing for zero tuning by understanding the constraints up front. All of these are about closing the gap between it works in theory and it works on Thursday when everything is slightly broken. And that gap is closing because people are building with real constraints, real data, and real feedback loops. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. We're in this moment where the tools are good enough that one-person teams can ship things that used to take squads, but only if they understand the constraints. Only if they pick the right serving engine for their workload. Only if they use production data instead of simulation. The people who win in the next year aren't the ones with the biggest models or the most compute. They're the ones who understand the gap between prototype and production and close it fastest. Something to think about on the commute tomorrow. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.